So today's live lesson is improving your rhythm and timing. This is quite often something I find from a lot of students that struggle with rhythm and timing. And I've done polls in the group before, the community. Quite often, this is a skill that a lot of people struggle with. It's something I see a lot in progress checks, level assessments, even at the higher levels as well. And something I see in groups, even at the highest levels, level fours, even higher level five students, still not doing what they should be, which we're going to be talking about today. The basics, the fundamentals is where it is at. So let's kind of dive straight in. The first thing we're going to talk about is introducing rhythm and timing. There's a little bit of a difference between the two, and quite often they're used interchangeably. So rhythm and timing, what does it mean? So when I'm talking about rhythm, I'm talking about the symbols we use to show sound or silence in music. Then you combine those rhythms together to create, all those notes, I should say, to create different rhythms. When we're talking about timing, we're then talking about ability to play that rhythm with a beat, with another person, even with yourself along to a backing track, be able to stay in time along to a music, another musician, or just yourself as you're jamming. That's the difference between the two. So that's what we're going to kind of talk about, both of those parts, because they are super important. You know, we could have great timing, but if we can't read rhythm, we won't know what we should be playing. But we could be good at rhythm reading, but if we can't keep in time with a beat, then we're not going to be able to play with anyone else, and we'd be playing along backing tracks and finishing before the backing track has, and all sort of problems that come along with that. So building blocks of rhythm. So we now know rhythm and timing, two different things. So the building blocks, again, fundamentals, beats. So in music, when we're talking about how long a sound lasts for, it's not minutes, not seconds, not hours. I still have students say that to me who are book three. They are beats. So beats is how we determine time in music. When you hear a track, you tap your foot along to the beats in the bar or the pulse in the music. So when you listen to a track, there is a pulse, and we want to know what that pulse is, and we want to be able to feel that pulse. We want to be in time with that pulse, and that's where the timing aspect comes in. When we have our measures for the American students, bars for the more European guys, that is then how we arrange our beats in music. We have these measures. We have four beats normally in a bar. We're going to talk about time signatures later on. And you can see at the bottom of this screen, I have then put, I think there's six bars there. We have the rhythms shown by the symbols. And then we have the beats at the very beginning, our four beats in each bar. And that's how we're obviously going to normally see it. So beats, measures, again, a lot of this stuff we've probably already gone through. Everyone's probably fairly happy with this, but I'm not leaving any stone unturned today. As I said earlier, it's all about the fundamentals, tempo. So tempo is the speed in music. Now, some people mix this up. So I have students quite often say to me, oh, is this rhythm right? Well, how fast are you doing? What's the tempo? That's what determines how fast it should be. Not just the rhythm, it's the timing, it's the tempo, which is going to dictate how fast you should be playing it. Not just your down and up strums. You need that pulse to be able to play along to make sure you're playing on the right tempo. So hopefully we know what tempo is. You'll see at the beginning of a piece of music, normally with a crotchet. You're going to see others, but normally in 4-4, you have the crotchet equals, and then a certain speed, like a 69, a 70, 170, 200, and so forth, showing how fast it is. So when you're learning a song, the tempo is the end goal. It's not the starting position. Obviously, we should be slowing it down, but that gives you where you should be ending up. So when you're practicing, you can work up towards, obviously, that speed. So I've put a few songs just off the top of my head of different tempos. So 69, Knock on Heaven's Door. These are all, obviously, from the G4 syllabus. Some of you guys would reach these. Some of you guys wouldn't have yet. You're touring nice and slow, that 69 beats per minute. More ballad speed. Then we get to 100. Sweet Home Alabama. So the underlying tempo is that. Now, Sweet Home Alabama can sound faster because it's 16th notes. We have that 2E and a. So it feels faster just because you're playing 16th notes. We divide those beats down. Some are 69, 142, so we're getting a little bit faster then with our kind of more rock. Obviously, that was our song study for this month, so you can find that in the academy if you want to have it, Summer 69. And Good Riddance, which is Waiting for People in Level 3, which is quick, 192. Now, that's quite fast. Again, the tempo is fast. When we start looking at timing and rhythm separately, then that's how we can slow things down, play the right rhythm, and then build up that tempo to get it obviously to the correct performance speed. So hopefully now we've got some of the main parts, the bars, the measures, tempo, beats. We understand what they mean. Again, this is quite theoretical to start with. Note values and their durations is part three. So now we know beats in a bar. Here are the symbols we use to show how long the sound is lasting or how many beats it's lasting for. So whole note lasts for the whole bar. Half note lasts for half the bar. If you've got four beats in your bar, whole note's always going to last for four. Half note's going to last for two. A quarter of that is going to be one. An eighth is half a beat. And a 16th note is a quarter of a beat. So it gets a little bit more challenging when you start talking about the eighth and the 16ths. So eighth notes, you're getting 2 8th notes to a beat. 16th notes, you're getting 4 16th notes to a beat. And that's what I was saying earlier about the Sweet Home Alabama. Because it's 16th notes, I'm picking four times every click of the metronome. Whereas if I'm playing quarter notes, I'm picking once for every metronome click. There's 16th notes. And then we have equivalent rests as well. So in music, there are symbols that show sound. There's equivalent rests that show silence. And you'll notice that when you hear a song, it's not always just sound. There's gaps. And use those symbols to write to show that. So the whole rest, half rest, and so on. Again, hopefully a lot of this you guys have been through. But a great thing to practice here, again, I'm going to talk more about metronomes and stuff later, is putting on a metronome and playing these different rhythms. So actually having a beat going, if it starts, there we go. I'm going to bring that down a little bit, just so it's not crazy fast. And just cycling through those rhythms. Can you play one, two, three, four, the whole note? Okay, that's okay. One, two, three. There's my halves, my quarters. One, two, three, four, my eighths. One and two and three and four, my sixteenths. One E and a, two E and a, three E and a, four E and a. So all the different countings there. Then more advanced students, see some level fours even higher on here. So then we start bringing our triplets. Then we start bringing in our syncopation when we're playing on the weaker parts of the bar, the ands and even the e's and the uhs and things like that. So again, we're not doing anything complicated here. We're just putting on a metronome and trying to play those different rhythms and then move between them. I'm going to put some challenges into the community next week for rhythm following this live lesson. And there's going to be some really fun stuff to do. Again, of different levels as well. So, yeah, watch out for that. Obviously, I'll email out when that's there. But it's going to be basically like this. I've got a cool little game for you guys to practice going between these different rhythms. So there's the notes. There's the rest. That's how we show how long a sound lasts for. That's the rhythm side of it, as I say. Let's keep going. And next, time signatures. Now, I talked about time signatures briefly when I discussed the 4-4. So the two numbers you see at the beginning of a piece of music. So you can see we have these three different lines. We have the treble clef right at the start. The purpose of the treble clef is to show us we're a treble instrument. You have bass clefs, you have alto clefs, you have different types of clefs, different instruments, different ranges they can reach. There's other reasons we're not going to worry too much about a treble clef. 4-4 we do want to talk about though. So the 4-4 is where you have four beats in a bar. I talked about that earlier. Then we use those different symbols to show us when we're playing on those four beats. So again, that brings in the rhythm side of things. Talked about 4-4. Underneath that, we got 3-4. Underneath that, we got 6-8. Now, I thought it'd be good to go over because some people struggle with the difference between 6-8, 3-4, and so on. So it'd be good to quickly talk about. And so I'm going to put back on my metronome, which I imagine I'm going to go out of time with because it's super quiet. I should have put some my monitors. So in 4-4, we have this 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2. So I'm just going to do quarter notes. I'm not doing the exact rhythm that's written. Then 3-4, 1, 2, 3. Now, important when you're playing 3-4, my metronome is not set to accent a beat, meaning it's not playing louder on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. So if your metronome is set like that, you have to accent that beat. Quite often when I get people's progress checks, I can't tell where they are in the bar because then they're not accenting that first beat of the bar. So we want like a 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. So just a little bit of an accent on that first beat. That'll help you keep track of where you are when you're moving through a longer piece, when you've got multiple bars. Now, 6-8 is a fun one. 6-8 is where we divide the beat into three equal parts. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So it's really two beats, but we're dividing it into three parts. And when you look at 6-8, you can see there are two groups of three eighth notes. So there are two beats divided into three equal parts. So again, just want to quickly talk about that because quite often that does stump people. And as we hit the high levels, we bring in more challenging time signatures. Mining by Pink Floyd comes in at grade 5. That's always a fun one. And we look at different time signatures. Again, don't want to go too nuts on that today, just setting the foundations. So then moving on again, tools for practicing rhythm and timing. Now, metronome is worth its weight in gold. And I say this all the time. I've said this on podcasts, so you guys are probably sick of me saying it. If you're not using a metronome regularly, that is probably why your timing is not very good. Your rhythm reading might be good, but if you're saying not staying to a beat, it's because you're not using a metronome enough. Not using it maybe purposefully enough. It's got to be used. I've put backing tracks on as well because quite often I get the question, which one should I be using? Backing tracks are easier. Can I just do that? I've had some people submit level assessments that are playing to like a drum beat. The only problem with that is you're not feeling the pulse. There's more there. The pulse is going to be there, but it's decorated with cymbals and other parts of the drum kit. Maybe a bass guitar if you've got like a backing track. So it's important to play with a metronome because a metronome is the fundamental pulse. If you can get that fundamental pulse, that is going to really help your timing. When you're playing along to backing tracks, there's a lot of variation in the different instruments of playing that backing track, in the levels of volume the different instruments are in that backing track, the mix of it, the production quality, all that kind of stuff. So metronome is definitely what you should be using, but ideally you should be using both. Backing track is going to help you for more real world scenarios, because obviously playing with a band is going to help you with that, help you playing along with songs. But if you do not know where the pulse is and you cannot maintain that pulse and stay in time with it, you could be playing with the best backing track in the world. You will not be in time with that. So you've got to be having both, but definitely start with that metronome. All level assessments should be submitted with a metronome, just so I can really hear that you've got that pulse and I know you've got it. Even setting your metronome to play different subdivisions like 8th notes, 16th notes, I don't want to hear that. I want you to divide it. I want you to hear that pulse and divide that yourself, because you're not always going to have the luxury of another instrument playing 16th notes or 8th notes. So you've got to be able to do that when you're playing along, especially if you're playing, obviously, rhythm. You want to really improve your rhythm chops. You need to know that click. You need to feel that click. You need to be able to divide that down. A metronome is good to start with, so you can hear it, so you can get your metronome to do 16th notes. But eventually, you want to go back to just doing those quarters and then divide it yourself. Or that just be a crutch, and you won't be able to play 16ths unless you're guided to be able to play those 16ths. So yeah, really important. Wanted to make a note of that because that comes up quite a lot. What should we use? Backing track, metronome. Ideally, both. There's not one that really better than the others, but the metronome is better to start with as a beginner. Again, we've got to have that pulse. One thing I've neglected to say is tapping foot. Is when you're playing on that metronome, tap your foot. A lot of people say, just can't do it. It's too hard. Can't tap my foot. As soon as I tap my foot, I start tapping the rhythm I'm strumming, not just tapping the pulse. Just means it's too complicated. It just needs to be simplified. So you should be going along to that metronome, tapping foot, staying in time, and that should be number one priority, getting that foot going. Because you've heard me talk about this, but I'm sure a million times, you need to internalize the beat. If you're listening to a metronome, you're hearing that external sound, you're not feeling it. As soon as you tap your foot, nod your head, whichever one feels easiest, even both, then you're internalizing it. You're feeling the rhythm, you're feeling the pulse, and then it's gonna make it a lot easier to stay in time. So really important to do that. I always nag my older students is people that have been me the longest, because I have book fours that aren't tapping the foot, not staying in time. We look back at the rhythm and they can't do it. They can't do it without me playing it first. Their ear training is of the level they can hear rhythm and then play it back, but their timekeeping isn't off the level that they can keep a time themselves. Their rhythm reading isn't of the level that they can read a rhythm and play it back. So again, these are the things we want to focus on. Great to have a good ear. We want to be able to do that so we can hear a track and play that rhythm. Fantastic. If you're playing in a band, you can hear the other instruments. You can kind of get into the groove. We'll talk about that in future kind of live classes. This is one in a series of rhythm we're going to do. That's hence why it's quite basic. Sorry, Dylan's coming. That just put me off. Where was I? So yeah, so really important to be able to stay in time, say, get that foot tap along to the beat. Be able to read rhythm, be able to hear rhythm. They're the three, that's a trifecta of a great rhythm guitar player. That's what we wanted to have. We can stay in time with the pulse. We can tap our foot along to it, say stay in time. We can read rhythm, so if we're given a chart, we can actually strum it. And we can hear as well, so we can pick it up by ear. They're the three things we want to try and develop. Let's keep going. Now, exercises to build timing. Now, I put exercises. Obviously, the great thing about beginner guitar Academy, we have the exercises. The exercises aren't the problem. we've got a ton of exercise as we go through the levels. Rhythm's quite well accounted for in the method. Ear training, a little bit less. You know, lead playing, that's what you'll get through the workshops and more stylistic stuff like the blues workshops. Also, you have to look at the workshops to get that kind of more genre-specific stuff. But the fundamental skill of strumming, we cover that quite well with the exercise and the method. What perhaps we haven't gone over is how to approach those rhythms. And I'm seeing a lot of students aren't breaking things down enough. We're going into exercise, guns are blazing, strumming through it, throwing on chords, changing chords. Nah, we come back to idea isolation. This is the same with skills. With rhythm, we isolate the right hand, we focus just on that. And even before we get that, I've just jumped straight to step two. I'm not reading my steps, I've put on the sheet. Step one is to count and clap. We simplify it, one, to counting, to make sure so we're aware of the beats in the bar. We can keep track of the beats in the bar. We simplify it to clapping because we've been doing that since, you know, day zero, we've been clapping our hands, so there's no problems. We haven't been playing guitar long enough. There's problems with guitar, accuracy, hitting the right number of strings, holding your pick, all that sort of stuff. Take that away, go a clap in. If we can't clap the rhythm, we're not gonna be able to strum the rhythm. Again, we gotta feel it. So we wanna start with that. The next one, strumming and picking. So now we bring on the guitar. We've clapped it, we feel it. Okay, so my rhythm is 1, 2, 3, and a 4. 1, 2, 3, and a 4. Great, I've got a feeling of that now. Now I want to strum it on strings so I can get directions. So now I can figure my right hand. Again, this is a right hand specific skill, or strumming hand, I should say, for left hand guitar players. So now I'm going down, 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 up, down, up, down. Okay, so now I can get a feel for that B. I can start feeling directions. I'm muting the strings so I don't want to hear anything. I'm not worrying about pitch at the minute. I'm just worrying about that rhythm side of things. Now we introduce the metronome. We start thinking about the timing elements. So, okay, so now my metronome's on. I've got my down ups. I know the down's coming on the clicks. So it's down, 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 up, down, up, down. 1, 2, 3, and a 4. So you can see just gradually building up. I've not even brought in the other hand yet. That's step number 4. We introduce the fretting hand. And this is quite an important thing to talk about as you're going through the G4 method, you're going through the exercises. You always want to make them fun. You always want them practical. If you're just doing your rhythm exercises, you're not then getting them and thinking, oh, I finished that page, I'm ready to move on to the next class, or I'm ready to move on to the next set of exercise for rhythm, and you haven't put chords on it, that's definitely where we want to go. Now, as you're going through your chords, you will be using the rhythms. The way the G4 method's great, it all builds, all the skills do eventually build together, so you will eventually do that. But that's a really good thing to do. Quite often with classes, we do our rhythms and we put them into lead playing. So I'll put on a backing track and say, right, here's our rhythm, 1, 2, 3 and a 4. We're in the key of G minor pentatonic. Let's use that rhythm. 1, 2, 3 and a 4. 1, 2, 3 and a 4. And get them to make up riffs using the rhythm. So get them to be more creative, get them to start using rhythms pitch they haven't used before. Again, just to make it a little bit more interesting. I say interesting because also if you're just going through just exercise, it gets a bit dull. So we want to try and make it a bit more exciting, a bit more creative, and that's a great way of doing it. That then is step number 5, the increasing complexity. Yeah, so you know, you could take one of these and go through that. So I'm looking at the exercise in 4-4. Okay, so this 1 and 2, 3 and 4. 1 and 2. Sounds like we'll rock you, doesn't it? Like that. Then we do it on muted strings. Okay, so that's down, up, down, down, up, down. Cool, I've got the directions. Then right, let's bring that metronome. 1 and 2, 3 and 4. 1 and 2. Cool, the timing's there. Now let's bring some chords. 1, 2, 3, and 4. You can do some chord changes. So once you've got it, it's the idea of then bringing up that complexity, make it a bit more interesting. Let me go back to where I was. Because we want to have this in a few different ways, especially when we're going through the exercises. One point is to obviously improve your rhythm reading. That's why it's all written out. The other point is to improve your timings, doing onto the metronome, but also to give you an archive of strum patterns. So when you come up against a song, you've got your chords, you're thinking, oh, I haven't got a strum pattern. You have, because you've been practicing all these different rhythm and combinations. So you can just pick them up. That's where we want to get to. You can stay in time with a beat. More than happy to keep that pulse. Once you can keep that pulse, you're staying in time with the metronome. Then we can have fun. Then we can start playing around with these different rhythms we've learned, our 16th notes, our 8th notes, our triplets, and really experiment. That's that increased complexity level. That's going to take to our next point. But we've got to build through that. So that's the 5 steps we want to be doing as we're going through the different rhythm exercises. Any level, I'd do this. Even my high-level students, we counter clap it because we've got to feel it first, or tap it. You know, we do something before we start being on the guitar. But normally if I don't coach them in doing that, they see the rhythm straight away, their friend chords. And like, oh, I can't get it. Oh, what is it? It's like, well, you've just jumped straight to number four. You've jumped all the steps. So no wonder it's hard. Rewind it, come back. So yeah, really make sure you break it down. That's normally the problem. It's just we're diving in too far, too hard. We're either jumping steps or we're making it too quick. Remember, the reason we want to use a metronome, we can vary the speed. If it's too difficult, slow it down. The rule of three. If you make a mistake three times in a row, sign's got to change. Either you make it slower, shorter, or simpler. And normally the slower is what will do it. It's always just normally too fast. Is there anything else to say about the five steps? Not really. That's kind of it, I think. I think I've gone off about them probably long enough. So that was all kind of the slidey things I wanted to go through. Going back through the basics, make sure everyone is on the same page when we're talking about the technical terms, be it tempo, be it measures and bars, be it time signatures, all that kind of good stuff, which obviously we do go through the method. So looking around here, a lot of you guys, I can see quite high level, so we've probably gone through this stuff anyway. The stuff we might be forgetting is the simplifying stuff. Bring in that metronome, make it slow, tap it out first, make sure of that foot tapping to the metronome, make sure we're reading the rhythm, make sure we're not winging it. Oh, that's an eighth note, so it's faster than the quarter note before it. That's not good enough. We need to be thinking counting. One, two, and three. Because if you were doing it just by ear or doing it for eye, it screws up as soon as you start changing the tempo. Because you'll be all right, probably at a tempo you're happy with, but as soon as we start going slow ballad, or we start going fast, if you're kind of mid-tempo, how you're practicing stuff, that's where it goes to pop. Because that normally is when it shows me straight away people aren't counting. Because you can't stay in time with a slower metronome. And a great thing to practice with this, and a lot of metronomes have this functionality, is it'll clap along. It'll tap along for the first few bars, then drop out, and then come back in again. So you can then see if you're maintaining that tempo or maintaining the pulse, because you're losing that pulse and it comes back. And if you come back, or it comes back, sorry, and you're still in time with it, you know you're doing well at keeping your time. If you're not, then you know it needs to be practiced. So yeah, a lot of metronomes have functionality, which are really cool. It just drops out, comes back in again. I think Justin Sanico's app does that as well. His metronome or timing app's pretty good. But that's a really, really good way of practicing it. So when you're practicing this stuff, make time for rhythm. Not just thinking I'm practicing rhythm because I've been playing the Oasis song and I've been strumming along to it. That's not practicing your rhythm. That's practicing performance. Practicing rhythm is whacking like a metronome, looking at those exercises, maintaining the pulse and being aware of what you're doing. Varying the tempos as well. Not just staying with one that you're happy with, playing around with it. That's practicing our rhythm. So make sure there's time in that. As you're going through your seven essential skills, that is an essential skill. So yeah, make sure you're doing that. And that gives hopefully a few ideas to practice it. Make sure you go for those five steps. But the speed is normally the one that everyone gets screwed up with. If you're struggling, it's normally too fast. It's got to be just be slower. Always start slow. There was a great quote by, I forgot what school it was now. It's a big school in America. Oh, I can't remember what school it was. But the guy basically said, if you recognize a song you're practicing, you're not practicing it right. You've got to break it down. You've got to slow it down. When you recognize it, it's when you're performing it. That's when you've got all the skills in place. It's up to speed. That's when you recognize something. So yeah, slow it down is the best way of doing it. And normally, if you can't recognize it, it's because the rhythm's not right. So that's obviously what we're talking about today. So do throw any questions, guys, in the chat. And I'll answer those. I should say that a minute ago, because I believe the next slide is questions. So if there are any questions, do let me know. Did I think there's anything else I wanted to say? I've kind of gone through it. When I was writing out this lesson, I've got basically about four more to do on this subject, but I just wanted to go through the real basics today. Then later ones, we'll go through different styles or genres. We'll go through what groove is, how to maintain groove, harder rhythms, syncopation, all that kind of good stuff. I just wanted to keep it not too heavy today, nice and light. And I'm bang on half an hour, which I was hoping for too, so that's fantastic. As you can say, I'm just waffling on just to see if anyone's got any questions. No one's written anything, so I'm guessing not. Thank you for joining me, guys. That was all I had planned to say. Just go for those basics. So this week in your practice sessions, now be aware of what that foot's doing. Are you tapping along to the pulse? Or are you just kind of guessing where it is? If you find it difficult to tap along with your foot, so yeah, if we're not tapping along with our foot and you find it difficult, it's just too fast. Slow it down. That's normally what it is. And it's probably just too complicated. Simplify it. If you're in level three, you're doing some of the harder rhythms, go back to level one. It's not a problem simplifying stuff. And same with something like notes. Someone said earlier, I think it was a question I got emailed about notes. They find it difficult to remember them. It's too hard. Simplify it. Go to the skill books. Get your skill set book of notes. Roll back. Roll back as far as you need to go that you can understand the notes. That might be back to level one. You might be level three. That's okay. Go back to level one. Build it back up. And you'll find you'll build it back up a lot faster than if you're trying to struggle on a page that's got, you know, 10 different notes than if you went back and you start with two and then build up to those 10 again. So yeah, don't be afraid to simplify. It's kind of human nature because you're at a certain point, you kind of think, well, I'm level three. I'm not going backwards. We should always be going back and recapping. It's just something you always do. It's what everyone does in all the other disciplines is focus on the basics. In the martial arts, you know, we're always focusing on straight punches, focusing on hooks, focusing on roundhouse kicks. You throw a thousand of them because there's always ways to get better at it. Same with timekeeping. It's a skill that needs to be developed. I'll cause a few questions. Cool. We shall go through those. So yeah, I had a student, I'll tell you this quick story, that he started a beginner guitar academy. He came and he sent me a long email how he'd been performing for ages, played lots of bands, really high level, wicked at his bar chords, wicked at his lead playing, but wanting to get a bit better at kind of his high level lead. And I was like, oh, cool, this'll be fun. He went through level one. He sent me his level one assessment. So I said, well, obviously you've been playing ages, just jump to level one. We can just tick it all off and we'll kind of just rocket through them. But I'm sure there'll be skills we haven't done, like note reading, which I know he hadn't done. He sent me his level one and he didn't pass on timekeeping. He couldn't stay in time with the metronome. Sent it back. He sent it again. Sent it back. Couldn't stay in time. He then sent me an email basically saying it was too good for level one. And he just wants to get onto level two. He's now not a student for beginner guitar academy. So just to show you, he's been playing all this time. But the fact that he can't stay in time with a metronome shows me that perhaps the bands he's playing with aren't the greatest at keeping time. So again, roll it back. He, you know, don't have the ego like that guy had and just, right, I'm too good for this beginner site. You're not if you can't get past level one. And our level one is quite hard. There's a lot of people playing years and years that can't get past level one because they don't know all their skills. And that's a prime example. So let's go through some questions. Are there any metronomes you'd recommend considering buying a physical one rather than relying on phone apps? Physical one, this is a really good one. This is not the newest one, the Korg MA30. I think it's the Korg MA1, which is the newest one. That's quite an old one. But that's really good if you want a standalone one. That's digital, so you can set it to do your subdivisions. Now, obviously, I went off saying that don't use them as a crutch, but obviously it's really handy. If you're struggling getting your 8th notes or 16th notes, triplets is a prime example. It's really good if you can get that tapping it. Just don't rely on it all the time. That's a problem a lot of people find. They have to hear the 16th notes to work out where they are because they haven't worked on obviously counting it along just to the pulse, if that makes sense. Don't use it as a crutch. But that's a really good one, the Korg one. There's some great little pedals. In the community, I'll put a little post up there of some of them because I'm a bit out of touch with metronomes, I'm not going to lie, because I use all digital ones now. So I'm not sure about the standalone ones. Obviously, you can get the old school, you know, the backs and forwards, the ones, they're expensive though, but they obviously do look nice. They haven't got much functionality in regards to you just get the speed. You won't be able to obviously do much more. The digital ones I'd obviously recommend for that. You can get wearables as well. The only thing I'd say about the wearable, when you have the beat and it's kind of like pulsating your hand or something like that, is because that's not really realistic. You know, unless you're wearing that, that's not helpful. It's like when you have a guitar with the stickers down the neck. That's great, but without those stickers, you're screwed. And normally a guitar doesn't have stickers. That's why I always say don't write the notes above your notes when you're reading it, because you're not going to see a song that has notes written above it. It's just not real world. It's good to start with. The problem is when people then use that as, you know, for too long and you can't then do it without it, it's too much of a crutch. You're not learning to read music, you learn just to read the alphabet. So that's a good one, the Korg MA1. So have a look, see if there's any others come about, but that was the one I used to recommend. The great digital ones for someone that has using the apps, the ones I always recommend for that is the Pro Metronome. That's a great one. The free version is probably all you'd need. I meant to check that before I came on today. I just remembered because I was wanted to check if it, because I know it has a functionality where it clicks and then drops out. I can't remember if that's the paid for functionality. To be honest, I'm sure you guys can fork out $2 to get that functionality. I'm sure you're not going to cry over that. It's funny, isn't it, how we're hardwired now not to buy anything for apps because there's so much free stuff. But that's a really good one. Superior Metronome is the drum kit, which is really good. Obviously, if you go onto YouTube, you're going to find loads of drum videos, so you can get nice little drum backtracks on that. Just type in the tempo. Level one's obviously going to be 60. Level two is going to be like 70, 80. And then just type drum tracks. You'll get a load coming up. You don't have to look far for good backing tracks. There's loads of free online. But yeah, the Core Gamer one. But so I'll have a look around and put some more ones in the Academy. Will the slides presentation be posted to Academy? Yep, the video will be. So let me quickly show you where. So on the main dashboard, you'll see we have live recordings. If you click on there, they're the videos for all the past live recordings. So I've separated them out. That was mixed in with all the resources, but there was enough now to warrant its own separate place. So you'll see them all there, all the challenges and stuff. There's going to be more of that coming next year as well. So something to look forward to, a practice challenge in January. So you see them all there. So that's where the recording will be. I'll also put it in the private podcast as well. So the audio will be in there tomorrow. That should all be coming up. I should be able to get that done all tomorrow. So if you don't know about the private podcast, there was an email that went out a few days ago. Check your junk, an email from captivate.fm. There's a little link there to join it and have access to the private podcast feed. Well, we're putting all the recordings for this. Hello there. Let me come back on camera quick. It's gone mad. So that'd be a place for all the recordings. I'm going to do some extra like training and stuff. I won't tell the story. But yeah, that's the place to have all the extra sort of bits and pieces, but mainly the live stuff. So yes, that'll be in the Academy. Good metronome. Yep, some cool metronomes there. Is it an oral skill? Yeah. Oral skill, when you're hearing the metronome, definitely. When you're feeling it, it then becomes internalized. It's then kind of like your internal metronome that you need to work on to really kind of dial that in and make sure we're tapping along and staying in time with beat. But it definitely is a skill. Again, quite a lot of people say, I have no rhythm, I can't stay in time. It's a skill. Like anything, some people just seem to have it. Some people don't. From my experience, the majority don't and needs to be worked on. So it's definitely something you've got to work on. So is it an oral skill like interval ear training to listen to a song and, to hear the rhythm? Yeah, because you'll notice in the G4 method, when we do ear training, we do it from two parts. We do melody and then we do rhythm. So we split up because when you listen to a song, there are two things you're hearing. You're going to hear the melody, that could be single notes. That could also be a chord progression. Not that chord. But you're going to hear the rhythm as well. So the two main parts of the music. Obviously, we could go more depth. But yeah, fundamentally, that's it. You're going to hear the pitch. You're going to hear the rhythm. So the ability we want is to be able to, and that's why we do it in G4. We work on them separately. Then as you get to those higher levels, spoiler alert, then we start bringing it together. So you then have to hear both at the same time and then pull it apart rather than having them of me pull them apart already. Yeah. So yeah, it's a part of ear training, be able to hear the rhythm, but it's getting to the point where, so definitely it's higher levels where it's not just hearing it, it's hearing it, analyzing it and being able to even think or visualize the symbols. That's when you've really got it. When you can hear a rhythm, you're not just hearing, it's a duh. Duh, 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 duh. Not just orally, but being able to understand it. Think, that's a crotchet, or, quarter note, 16th notes. That's when you've really got it. That's when you're thinking, I'm getting pretty good my rhythm now. That's when you start turning corners. And again, that comes into definitely the higher levels. Any more tips on finding pulsing backing tracks? I feel like when I have it with a metronome, then lose rhythm easily in a backing track. Yeah, backing tracks definitely be more tricky because there's more going on. So if you haven't really dialed in the pulse, because there'll always be the pulse there, the kick drum will normally be kind of doing that. Then you have the kind of cymbals and stuff embellishing that. Again, that's not set in stone because you also have different rhythms. So it might not always be the case. But yes, that will be a case of really just trying to find the beat. Again, this is going to be, I was going to try and really quickly find a backing track. Well, I'll tell you, I was going to try and find a song really quickly, like a backing track with song. Because I don't know if, Dave, you mean backing track with like a song if you're playing to a song, or backing track maybe you're jamming to, or maybe like just like a rhythm backing track and you're practicing your rhythm to that. But if we grab something like Summer 69. I wish I'd picked another one. Quite often you can hear that snare drum in the 2 and 4. Hear those cymbals then hit on that first beat, 2, 3, 4, to kind of bring us into the next bar. So hearing things like that in the drum kit can really help. You'll hear the groove kind of repeat, you'll hear the cymbals kind of ending a 4-bar loop, or maybe start another one. Again, not set in stone, it could be an 8-bar loop, but you know what I mean. There'll be clues like that. The snare normally will hit on the 2 and 4, so that can be really handy. And it's just experience. You can hear straight away then, or you probably saw straight away, as soon as I put it on, I lock straight into it. 1, 2, I could hear straight away where it is. So a lot of that is just from experience, especially when you get to a high level. I start trying to confuse you with harder time signatures and rhythms. Then that gets harder, and that's just gonna be the experience there. So that will come. Oh, man, it's of the world. Ha ha. So yeah, see, now it's kind of dropped out a little bit. But those cymbals at the start kind of like set the tempo.
Upon the stair, spoken walls of wind.
Although
I was there, said I was his friend, which came as a surprise. I spoke into his eyes. I found you dead alone,
and you've got the eighth notes in the background. Bum, 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 bum. There you can see it resets. Yeah, I don't think that's really helped me just sing along to that, but yeah. Try to think my process of doing it. It's hard to break it down now because I just kind of slide through it.
Oh no, not me.
We
never lost control.
Snare drums on the 2 and 4.
To face, to face.
So yeah, so I'd say simplify that down. So put the guitar down, just try and tap the foot along to it, try and count along to it. So take away that complexity. Again, going back to those sort of 5 steps, bring it right back. So if we can't count along to that, 1, 2, with the music, you can follow it through. 1, 2, 3, G, bum, 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 bum. I don't think it's got G in it, is it? I know it's got D minor. D minor, 2, 3, 4. So if you can follow it along with the chords, oh, yep, I can see where I am. That's gonna obviously really reinforce the timing. So yeah, put the guitar down, make sure you can count along with it, follow the music with it as well. That's really helpful. But yeah, but you can see, you've got a lot of the examples. The snare's gonna be on the 2 and 4. The hi-hat's gonna be doing the 8th notes. So locking into those parts of the kit can really help. Hearing the accents when the rhythm turns around, be it the chord doing that, or be it the bass line, bom, 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 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2, can really help you find that first beat in the bar. So there's a lot of clues in the other instrumentation. It's just being aware of that and really trying to hear it. But yeah, put away the guitar, try and count along and try and follow it. It's definitely a good way of doing it. But yeah, Man of Soul, that was a tough one. See that little 2-4 bar in there? And the rhythm for it quite often gets people because it's not, it's got those ties and it's a bit tricky in regard to that. I was just curious to see if I could really find it. Ah, I can't find it. So yeah, it's just, yeah, again, put down the guitar, go through it, use your ears, use your eyes, count along with it and get that tempo. That's a really good thing to do. Again, I see a lot of students don't do that. Diving, just trying to strum along with it. As soon as we're doing that, we're worrying about our fretting hand placement, worrying about directions, worrying about timekeeping, worrying about accuracy. No, we want to focus just on timekeeping. So get rid of all that other stuff and just focus on counting, and clapping, tapping, whatever you need to do to make it really simple. And that will definitely really help. What was I going to say? One thing that's going to make it a lot easier soon is all the songs will have play-along tracks. And then you'll be able to see it a lot easier as well. So that will help kind of see where you should be playing things rather than just trying to hear it or try and follow me on the video. I think the play-along tracks are going to really, really help. There's been some really good feedback with them on, obviously, the the song studies I've done. So they'll be coming in for every level. They're for level five. I've already done that for level five. I'm now going to be going backwards. So the lower level students might have to wait a little bit while. But every song will have a play along track at some point next year. Fairly soon. It won't take that long to do them. Cool. So I think that's me done then, guys. If there's any other questions or anything, I think I've waffled on enough. But the main takeaway from today is think foundations. Think the basics. Roll stuff back. Make it slower. Make sure we're tapping our foot. Make sure we're counting. Make sure we're aware of the beats. Again, most problems I have with the high-level students, we're not doing the basics because we're just not exercising it. So yeah, counting's one of the biggest ones where students always say, oh, can you play it to me? Because I can't read it. Really important to count it. So yeah, make sure we're counting it. If you find that difficult, roll it back. Simplify it. Get the skills book. Remember, there in the resources section, all the skills, I think all of them now, except for, I think, maybe oral, have the skill set books. Yeah, use them when you're practicing. Don't be afraid to roll it back a little while and kind of build it back up. Definitely do that with notes, because there's been a lot of questions out lately. Yeah, bring it back. You make things easy. Cool. Guys. Yeah, cool. Thank you, Martin. So a few pointers to work on. So yeah, hopefully, it's, obviously, Martin, you're quite high level, but hopefully there's been a few things being taken away. Again, I really wanted to be foundational, this one, because I see a lot of people forgetting about the foundations. And I've harped on about them enough. So yeah, try and put that to practice routine this week. Let me know how it goes. You know, put it in the practice journal. Tag me in. I want to know if you found any of these things helpful. Or if you had any other questions or anything like that, do let me know. If you're struggling with a certain thing as well, tag me in. I'll be doing more live lessons. Or maybe just recorded lessons. Maybe not the live stuff. But it's quite a good turnout tonight. So we might continue this. I wasn't sure the later time. But yeah, you know, tag me in. Let me know what you guys want. And I shall... do it. But yeah, have a good night or afternoon wherever you guys are, and yeah, I'll chat to you soon. Live Q&A next Monday, same time, same place. Well, not same place, it's a different link, so we post out, but there is a different link to get to there. But yeah, hopefully I'll see some of you guys there. If not, in the community, yeah, I'll see you guys soon. Take care.